sign yet. Okay. Good morning, church. Happy Sunday. Thank you. So I'm going to be reading from Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. And it reads, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." As we journey every moment, may our hearts be set on making his name known and glorified. May we remember that we are called to proclaim the name of Jesus to every nation, tribe, and tongue. I encourage us today to let every moment of our lives echo this one truth: Jesus is worthy of all praise, for he is the Lord of all. May we rise as we worship.
All hail the power of Jesus' name.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. He chooses seed of Israel's race. He ransomed from the fall.
Thank you.
can say hello to each other. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. See, if I just keep trying, one of them will work. Well, if you're a guest with us today, you're here on a very special Sunday. We are reporting about our missions trip to Colombia in the end of March, and that's what this Sunday is going to be about. I was very surprised and thrilled at the same time when Pastor Rod and I began to announce that we are going to take a trip to Colombia and we're going to do some evangelism, that it wasn't very long before we had a full team of, along with people from this church, we had three people from Ontario go with us, and also a man from Nicaragua who I had worked with years ago. Wanted to go as well, and so he began to raise money and joined us as a translator, and had a translator from Ontario, originally from El Salvador. Where was she from? No? Where? No, not from Nicaragua. The other guy was from Nicaragua. Anyway, it doesn't matter. She went as a translator as well, and we had a terrific team, and I was just so excited to see what God would do through them. Altogether, from our church, we had 13 people. Our task was to work in two different areas in a city in Colombia called Montería, where I have a friend who is a pastor there. His name is Reynaldo. I met him years ago, probably 20 years ago, in Colombia. He was my translator there. And we've remained friends ever since. And he's a pastor in Monterrey, wanting to start a new church in a new area that does not have an evangelical Christian church. Our task was to go door to door and share the gospel with people each day. And in the afternoon, Pastor Rod was going to lead with various members of our team a children's ministry that they'll probably tell you about a little bit later. And then in the evening, we would have an evangelistic service that I would preach at. All told, we shared the gospel about 350 times, and we saw 135 of those people open their hearts to the Lord and give their lives to Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, I keep getting reports from Pastor Reynaldo that the church is doing a terrific job at going back to all those people and beginning the process of discipleship and integrating them into the church. Their children's ministry has grown to the point where they're looking for new space to house the children's ministry. And so the work is going on really well there. My favorite story of the trip is about this man. His name is Elias. Someone told me about midweek that he had received Christ through one of our other teams and that he wanted to be baptized. So I went to Pastor Reynaldo and I said, hey, there's Elias. He wants to be baptized. And Pastor Reynaldo was very excited about that and said, oh, that's great. Friday evening, we have a celebration service at the Mother Church. We invite everybody to come. We have a big celebration. I preach. And when I walked into the church, I noticed that there was a little blow-up swimming pool on the stage. And so I went to Pastor Reynaldo and I said, is there going to be a baptism tonight? He says, yes, there is. I said, are you going to baptize Elias? He says, no, you are. Well, that was kind of fun. So we brought Elias up and, he gave his testimony of faith and we had an assurance of his salvation and he was excited to follow the Lord. And so I sat, the funny thing about the pool is that it had a slow leak in it. And so the pastor's son is up there during the service with a hand pump, and he's keeping the pool pumped up, which is kind of funny. And the pool only had about that much water in it. And so I had Elias sit down in the water, and when I leaned him back, the water came to about like here at his face. And Elias is coming like this, you know, and I'm splashing him, trying to get him all wet. Well, the really great part of the story is that I preached a sermon that night about serving the Lord and becoming a discipler, because we had now 335 new babies, you know, who needed to be followed up with and discipled. And so I invited people to come forward who wanted to be a part of that team, and a lot of new people came forward. Well, here comes Elias. He's a brand new Christian, right? Elias comes forward to be a person who disciples. I was so excited. I said, oh, there's Elias. If Elias can do it, anybody can do it. At the end of the service, the church wanted to give our team a little, you know, gift bag. And so church members are going over here to pick up the bags. Here comes Elias. He wants to serve. And so not only was Elias a brand new Christian, he gets baptized, now he's already serving. That was such an exciting and wonderful thing to see. And he is continuing on. They're discipling him, and he's growing. The second most memorable thing about the trip is this picture. Show me this picture. Pastor Rod driving a taxi. I will never forget that moment. Norm is going to come right now. Norm was our treasurer on the trip, and I was so happy to have him. He did such an awesome job keeping us financially, you know, on track, and he's going to share with us.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. Let me firstly say a huge thank you to everyone that supported our missions trip through prayer and financial support. You were one of the key reasons for all our success. When I first heard Pastor Mark was going to organize a missions trip heading to Colombia, I was intrigued. I thought, well, just maybe I'd have a chance to see what all this mission stuff was all about firsthand. Now that I was retired, my schedule was open, and I had one less reason not to get involved. So I began the process with interest. Mark had gathered up a team. We completed more paperwork than I could remember that I had done just to join the military. Then came all the travel arrangements, all the organizing of schedules and budgets. At our monthly training meetings, we talk about expectations and opportunities. We went through the process of learning how to evangelize, sharing our own personal testimonies, and even practicing with a translator. Each time I left, I was a little more excited, thinking that maybe God could actually use me to further his kingdom in Colombia. Now, as I reflect back on my time in Colombia, I must say I just want to leave you with one thought today, just one single word, and that word is hope. Hope found in Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, as Paul writes, if you continue your faith, established and firm, and do not move from hope hallowed in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard, that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. You see, before Colombia, my entire time of sharing the gospel with others was one of ensuring that each conversation covered all aspects of the gospel. So there was no way of sharing the true gospel in 30 minutes or less. I mean, someone could be moved to accept Christ as their Savior, but hey, did they really realize the 5 points of Calvinism? I mean, what's their thought on total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and the preservation of the saints? I mean, most Baptists still have arguments over at least one or two of those points. And we haven't even got into decide whether we believe in an early earth theory. Or, hey, how about predestination or the pre- and post-rapture debate? So with all that in mind, I wasn't fully convinced that my personal testimony and my short presentation of the gospel, even though it had been refined and practiced over and over again, was going to move anyway into the illustration Mark had put before us as a group. So, as my translator, Ubaldo Perez, headed down that broken, worn-down path in the boroughs and slums of Monterey on the early heat of the morning, I first came across a young man sitting on his front porch. No furniture, hardly any clothes on, just one pair of shorts. His chest bare, showing a number of poor grade tattoos. We began to talk. And with the assistance of my translator, I told him about myself, my life, and at my lowest point, how Christ had reached out to me. He then shared how he and his wife had been beaten and robbed at a different location, and he now was alone. He showed me the scars from the knife attack, and that one wound had cut from one side of his ear to the side of his cheek. And when he went on to explain his situation, I listened and offered very little. I listened more and offered less. Hope, man. Hope in the gospel, a voice kept telling me. Hope. That hope that moves you towards something positive. So I presented the gospel, using the cube as an illustration, a tool. And as I and my translator preached the gospel and presented it, he began to see a future with some hope. You know, maybe when you have little hope left, when that hope of your health, your wealth, or your position in life sees you through from day to day or week to week, is gone or evaporated, you can just focus clearly on the hope that remains. That hope is not in material worth. It's not found in the status of others, but it is the hope of the gospel that those that are weary will find rest. And so our conversation went on for well over an hour. And as we prayed together, he confessed of his sins and accepted Christ as his personal Savior. Hope was renewed, an eternal hope. Those were just the first few hours of an incredible week that would see many others come to know Christ. It would even end more dramatically for me, but that story is for another time. So in closing, I'd simply like to say, hope. Hope this week that when you find those moments in time across from a friend or a loved one, that you take the time and share a conversation of hope, a hope in the gospel that it is true and that will provide you with eternal life. Thank you.
Thanks, Norm. It was such an amazing trip. And like Norm said, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, church, for your prayer support and backing our team. Without you guys, this trip couldn't be possible. I think of Matthew 9:37, where it says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And that is so the case in Colombia. The harvest is so plentiful. I just want to explain to you just a brief what the 4 days looked like that we were doing. We did evangelism in the morning, door to door. And then in the afternoon, half of us did children's ministry and the other half continued to do evangelism. So we took turns every other day doing children's ministry in the afternoon. Thursday, I just want to speak on my last afternoon. Thursday afternoon was probably the most impactful time I had there. I ended up, I had different translators every day for some reason, but not every day, but this one afternoon, I ended up with one translator and myself, and the dynamics were really just different with just the two of us. She was a young girl, probably in her early 20s, and so it was her first time translating, her first time out being with her team, so I gave her kind of the cues on what to do. And so we're going door to door, and we knock on this one door, and this young man answers, and I say, "How old are you?" And he says, 17. And I explain to him, "I'm from Canada, I like to share with him my faith." And he's like, "Well, I know English." I'm like, "What?" Yeah, and the translator looks at me, and she's like, "Well, you don't need me then." And so I start sharing the gospel, and it was weird to me, because I'm pausing, and I'm looking at her, and she's like, because I've been so reliant on the translator for like the last 4 days. So I shared with this young man the gospel. He's 17 years old. And I said, "Do you want to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior?" At the end of the gospel, like, "See, yes, yes, I do." And I prayed the salvation prayer with him. We got his information. And then we went on to the next door. And the next door, this older couple invited us into their home. And we sat down. And I said to this couple, "Do you have a faith?" And they're like, "Yes. As a matter of fact, my husband's a pastor." I'm like, "Really? I'm a pastor as well, too." And so the pastor came out, and he's like, "You know, I've been praying that God would send someone my way this morning to encourage me, and you came." I'm like, "Wow." And then so then we held hands and we started praying, and this guy is praying with his whole heart and tears are rolling down his face. And I look over at my translator and she's crying. She starts breaking out in song. And I'm like, "I don't know what's going on here, but I know that the Lord is here. I know that God is here," right? But it was just such a powerful moment. And then we move on. And then I see these three guys sitting on a bench with this other lady. They're just hanging out. Lots of people just hang outside in Colombia. So I approach them, and the translator says, "I have a friend here from Canada who wants to share his faith with you." "Oh, yeah, well, let's hear it." So I share my testimony with these guys on the street, and I get out the evangel cube, and I take them through the gospel. At the end, I ask them, "Do you guys want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior?" Everyone around said, see, which means yes, yes, yes. And so we took them through the prayer, we got their information, and they all accepted Christ right there. And then we're on our way back to the church. And then we're on the street, and I see this little boy. And I'm like, "Well, let's just chat with this kid here." I approach this kid, I'm like, "So how old are you?" He's like, "Well, I'm 9 years old." And they're like, kids just kind of hang around. They're all over, right? And this kid's like, "I'm 9 years old." So I give him, like, I always carry candy in my backpack. Mark says bring candy. It was a lifesaver. So I give him candy in my backpack. And then I talk to him. And I share with him the gospel, how, you know, "Do you want to accept Christ as your forever friend? And he died for your sins." And I shared with him the gospel. And he said, "Yes, I want to accept Christ as my Savior." Then I got the translator to pray the salvation prayer with him. And I'm like, "Wow, this kid accepted Christ on the street. He's 9 years old. I got to get him to the church." So I lure this kid to the church. And I get him into the kids' ministry, right? Because my other team's doing the kids' ministry. He jumps into the kids' ministry, starts doing the craft, and I say to the pastor's wife, "That kid accepted Christ as his Savior. You need to do follow-up with him." So she talked to him in Spanish and got his information, and I'm thinking, wow, if I did that in Canada, I'd be like, I'm innocent. Like, it'd be creepy. Like, you know, you're luring a little kid to the church, this 50-year-old guy. No, but it was so, so amazing how God moved in Colombia. I was so grateful. It was one of the missions trips. I've been on many missions trips before, and this is one that really changed my life, and I could really see the Holy Spirit moving there. So thank you so much. I'm just going to invite Pastor Mark to come up and do the announcements.
Well, good morning, church. Happy long weekend, it's May long weekend. Also, as you heard, very special Sunday. We have more stories to share about the missions team and all that they were able to do in their time in Colombia. So we're glad that you are here with us this morning, that you've chosen to join us. Also want to say a big thank you to Doug and his small group who provided the wonderful breakfast for us this morning as well. You can give him a hand. It's great food, great conversation is a great way to start our time together this morning. If you're here this morning and you're visiting with us, we want to welcome you as well. Encourage you to fill out one of the Connect cards in the pew in front of you. You can fill that out. Just drop it in the little offering bag as it goes by. Or you can scan the QR code that's in the bulletin just so we'd have a record of your visit with us today. And if you are a visitor, be sure to contact one of the greeters or the ushers. We have a gift that we'd like to give you on your way out just to remember us. And a couple of announcements we also want to just get out of the way, let you know some of the things going on in the life of our church over the next little while. Because it is a long weekend today, we don't have Kingdom Kids, so just make note of that. Kids, you can stay with your parents today. There's activity boxes if kids get a little bit bored or wiggly. There's boxes located in the foyer you can grab, help keep your kids occupied. We do still have the preschool class, so kids 4 and under, you can still be dismissed to your regular class, but no Kingdom Kids for the older kids. This Wednesday, we are also having our Joy Lunch. That's just older youth, and that's for this people over 50. That's May 21st. It's here at the church. Tickets will be on sale. They were on sale before the church. They'll be on sale after the service as well. This month, Kaz will be sharing his testimony, so it'll be an encouraging time. So Joy Lunch this Wednesday. Next Sunday, we have a couple of other things going on. First, young adults will be having a young adult lunch after the service. It'll be held at Pastor Mark B's house, so make note of that. And in the evening, we also are having a concert of prayer. Here as a church, as a congregation, we just want to gather, just unite our hearts in prayer before the Lord and seek His direction for our church. So please plan to join us for that as well. Looking a little farther off into the future, this August, we are looking to do a back-to-school outreach, a carnival in August. We want to invite people from our community, especially those who are in need, to join us for some fun and some fellowship. And at that time, we'll also be looking to be giving away sort of backpacks and school supplies as well. And if you're interested in helping, we do need some helpers. We'll need people to help donate supplies, people who might organize or oversee it. We also need volunteers on the day to just help keep things running smoothly and just sort of man some booths and that kind of thing. So if you're interested in helping at the back-to-school outreach event, you could talk to one of the pastors. You could contact the church office as well. And those announcements are all in your bulletin, and there's more there in your bulletin. Just encourage you to read through it just on your own time to let you know all the other things that are going on in our church. But at this time, I will ask the ushers if they would come forward. We'll collect the morning offering. And as they come, just a reminder once again, preschool kids, still have your class. But the Kingdom Kids, you can just stay with your parents for the rest of the service today. All right, let's pray together at this time. Father God, we thank you for this day. There is so much to celebrate. Lord, even as we spent time together in fellowship with the breakfast, it's been a wonderful beginning to our day. But Lord, even as we hear about the Columbia mission, Lord, and the impact that our church made, even in that short time that they were there, it is such an encouragement. We love to hear the stories. We love to see you at work in so many ways, in so many lives, as hope and the gospel is shared with the people who are there. We pray for those who made a decision there in Colombia, that, Lord, the church that is there would help follow up and help disciple them. And help them grow in their faith and their understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord, we also want to pray for Natasha. Lord, she has an update in the bulletin, and we just keep praying for her. Lord, she's looking for a new apartment, so we pray that that would be something that she's able to find. We also pray for her just building relationships. Lord, and she's finding it very close with the history of communism there. People are kind of keep to themselves and don't trust outsiders. So, Lord, we pray that, Lord, you just break down some of those walls and help her just to begin connecting with people and just learning the culture, learning the language, and doing all of those things. That'll just help her be able to minister well there in Germany. And, Lord, we also think of today, we just think of those who are sick. Lord, we think of those who are hurting. Lord, we think of those who are grieving. And Lord, we just pray that, Lord, you would be close at hand to each and every one of those. That, Lord, you would bring healing, that you would bring comfort, that you would bring hope to all who are in need. And Lord, we just, again, pray that you would be with us in the rest of our time together as we hear stories of you at work and the power of the gospel in the lives of the people who hear it. And Lord, we also pray for this offering we are about to receive that, again, Lord, we are so thankful for how you provide for our church through the gifts of these generous givers. And Lord, we just pray that you would make us wise in the way that we spend this money, that we'd be good stewards, and that, Lord, every penny would be used to share the gospel and glorify you in all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Days. King of all days, oh, so highly and so.
We're all together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to be. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow, here I am to savor, you're my God. All together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to be.
It was so great for us to have a father-daughter team come with us to Columbia. And I'm going to ask Benedicta to come first, and then Felix, Dad, will share. I guess you're coming together. All right.
Thank you, Pastor Matt.
Good morning, church. My name is Benedicta. I'm the daughter of Felix and Benny, and I'm happy to have my dad up here for like emotional support. But this past mission trip to Colombia was truly a wonderful experience. While I was there, I engaged in a lot of arts and crafts with the kids, like I do here, as well as evangelism. I just have to say, it was just such a blessing to be there. With the kids' arts and crafts, we did activities like drawing out the creation story and making kindness cards, which the kids indulged in greatly. They love them. But the story that I want to share was when I was evangelizing, the group I was with was just me and my translator and a woman from the church. And we were obviously out evangelizing, and we had met this 17-year-old girl. She had a lot of questions. She told us that when she was younger, she had been visited by members of Jehovah's Witness. So she had grown up already having that in her head, and also being raised by a Catholic mother. So as you can imagine, she was confused. She didn't quite know what to believe. So we sat down with her for a long time. We were at their house for like an hour and a half. And she asked really thoughtful questions. We did our best with scripture and the Holy Spirit to answer them, and we also shared our testimonies with her, and eventually we asked the question, like, will you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And she accepted Jesus, like, easily, joyfully, and you could see it on her face. When she said she'll accept Jesus, she, like, had this fat smile on her face. It was awesome. And when she did, like, I can remember her smile so vividly. And what made it even better was that same night, when they do the sermon in the evening, I saw her there. And as the preacher like preached his sermon, it really did warm my heart to see the Holy Spirit already working in her spirit and soul, just to be able to take those steps in her faith. And so before I give the mic to my father, I would also just like to thank everyone for their support and donations and prayers that you guys gave us before, during, and also after we had gotten back from the trip, as we wouldn't have been able to reach the people we did without you. Thank you.
That was wonderful. And, you know, it's also very emotional hearing my daughter gave a testimony of what the Lord did through her in the mission field. On my own part, I want to say a big thank you to the church again for all your prayers and for everyone, both members of this church and those that are not members of this church that prayed for us, our friends, family, friends, and all of that, that donated towards the mission trip. Our hearts are full of joy for giving us that opportunity to be of service to the Lord over there. I want to start from the very bottom so that I don't forget it. In the course of this mission field, what really came on top to me is that God is already at work in whatever he's calling you to do. You know, we saw this very vividly in our mission field. Another thing I also see is that God can use anyone, and he can use anything to accomplish his purpose. I'm going to unpack that as I share some of the experiences that we had. The story that Pastor Mark shared with us earlier on about Elias, that was one of the things that blew my mind. You know, we went to the village of Villa Jimenez. This a village at the outskirts of the city, but it's not really a set-up place. They have shacks. People that have been pushed to the brim of the society, they just rent a shack, put zinc or wood to make a living. They are just living there. And then we went there. One of the young couple we met, went in, they invited us very, very welcoming. We spoke with them, first the mom, then the dad. They came into that environment because they have been stripped of whatever they had in the city. They just have to make a living. They had a one-year-old. As we spoke with this lady, she said, "Let me call my husband." So the husband was busy at the backyard. He came. Two of them listened to us. Eventually, they gave their life to Christ. Beyond that, what I saw was that they were yearning for more beyond accepting Christ. They wanted a follow-up. Good enough, one of our interpreters that went with us, who live in that environment, took it upon herself to make sure he followed up with this young couple. When I say the lady is probably in her early 20s, maybe 25, and the man is probably in his late 20s as well, and their baby was about a year old. I saw the yearning in their heart to say, we need someone. We need somebody to help us navigate this part of our life together. That was one. And then we left that particular place we were walking on. We saw Elias, and he's a bike rider, and three of his friends just chatting away. We went to say hi to them. And as we started speaking, Elias opened up to tell us the unfortunate incident he has gone through in his life. He once had a family, has lost his family, as in his wife left him, his children left him, he was left alone. The question he kept asking is, does God really love me? He has tried church in some other places, which he said he met with so many do's and don'ts to become a Christian. Baptism was something that was, you know, their Catholic environment was something that there are some rubrics you have to fulfill before you can get baptized and be called a child of God. As we kept on talking with Elias, with the interpreter and all of that, I saw an opening that I really need this Jesus, if what you are saying is true of him. And we asked him, would you be willing to accept him? He said, already, I want to. And when we did, I saw the joy immediately that one thing he said, is this simple? Is this simple? You know, he was saying it in Spanish. And our interpreter would say, yes, it is this simple. You know, and of course you had the rest of the story from Pastor Mark about this young man. The last testimony I want to give, this was in the city now, in Monteria. we knocked on a door. We went in. We saw a teenage girl in grade 11. She's in grade 11 because she was still in her school uniform in the house. Her grandma was sitting. Her parents have gone to work. And then one of her neighbors, about 19 years old, was also in the house, and a 4-year-old kid. As we were kind of trying to talk with the grandma and the young boy, because the girl was making lunch for, she just came back from school making lunch for her little brother and all of that. You know, we just kept talking. She would ask a question, she would walk away to go and do her cooking, you know, trying to make lunch for her younger brother. But we were patient, just taking our time. And at a point, she finished the lunch. She was making noodles and all of that. You know what these young fellows, what they are good at making. So she gave the food to her younger brother. She sat down, and then she kept asking, okay, what about this? Okay, what about that? You know, okay, my parents have been going to church, but I don't like the way they do things. I don't like this. You know, she just kept on going and going. And then we kind of took the time to explain all this to her. And then eventually she said, okay, does it mean that God can accept me the way I am? We said, yes, he can. And then the friend or her neighbor who was there said, oh, I'm a soccer player. You know, Colombia is a soccer nation. That's why my daughter is wearing their national jersey. You know. So eventually, both of them said, we want to pray. The fantastic thing was that, okay, do you want to accept Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? She said, yes. Then they went down straight on their knees at the middle of the room to say, please help us, both of them. As we were about to pray, we had a knock on the door. And then her friend, another girl who was probably in her 16, 15, came in, obviously her classmate. He said, why are you people kneeling down? Then she said, wait. So this is what was going on. She was preaching to her friend what we had told her, why she was still on her knees. Then the friend said, okay, if that's the way, I am going to also give my life to Christ. She came right down, knelt down. We didn't say a word to her. It was somebody that was about accepting Christ that preached to her friend. And she knelt down, and we prayed for them. And they accepted Christ. You know, that's why I said at the end that God can use anyone. We use the Evangel Cube. Just simple as it was, open the scriptures to people. And what I also learned from this mission trip, like my daughter said earlier on, is that God is already at work. God is already at work. Even when I didn't know the language, I didn't know how to speak Spanish. When Pastor Mark told me about it, I was panicking, you know, way back. How are we going to preach the gospel? Then I was going through Blue Ocean. It's a North American Baptist seminar we are doing. We did one in BC, one in Ontario, and the last one in Chicago. When I was in BC, I told one of the attendants that we are going for a mission trip. That's the one Pastor Mark was talking about, Anna. And she speaks Spanish. She said, I am going with you. Miracle. She said, I can speak Spanish. I will interpret. So that's why I said, God is already at work. He's already doing stuff that you have no idea about. So please join God in the mission. And I want to say that we are not done. That's what I feel in my heart, that we are not done with what God has started doing in Colombia with Northgate Baptist Church. So tune in for what and where the Lord calls us to walk next around there. Thank you, and God bless you.
May we rise, church.
I love to tell the story.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it is true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
Well, this is so fun. I'm hearing stories that even I haven't heard. The story about Elias, I hadn't ever heard the first part of that. So that was pretty cool to hear the first part. And when he said, yes, I'm ready, that's a story we heard a lot. When I witness to people, I would say, would you like to receive Christ? And I had one guy say, well, who wouldn't? You know, it's like, yeah, it makes sense. And so that's pretty exciting. Aaron is one of the custodians here at church, and I was so excited when he came and told me that he wanted to come with us, and he's going to come and share with us now.
Good morning, everyone. As Mark said, I am the custodian here. You've probably seen me wandering around in my Spider-Man hoodie cleaning up on a Sunday. So as I was thinking about what I want to share, my mind kept going back to before the trip, back to last year when Mark first said, you know, I'm thinking we should do a mission trip, maybe in 2025. And I thought, well, that's cool, mission trip, nice, and nothing. And over the couple weeks at staff meeting, Mark would say, you know, I want to do this mission trip. I think we'll go to Colombia. And I thought, oh, Colombia, that's cool. And once again, in one ear, out the other. And as the week went on, I'd be doing random things. I'd be at home, sitting, reading, watching TV, and just out of nowhere, I'd hear Colombia. And I went, oh, Colombia, okay, and gone. And it happened several times, and I'd be doing random things in Colombia. I'm like, okay, obviously God is telling me that I am to go to Colombia. So the next day, I go to Mark. I say, Mark, what do I need to do to go to Colombia with you? He says, you're in. I said, okay, awesome, great. And fast forward to our first training session. He hands us the Evangel Cube, which I think Felix has mentioned and a few other people. And he says, we're going to be sharing the gospel, going door to door. And all of a sudden, my mind goes, what? Door to door? I mean, I don't like when people knock on my door. I go, oh, who's there? Please be nobody. Please be something else. Now I'm going to be that guy going door to door. Okay, I can do this. And then he also said that you will save 30 or 40 people. And I went, oh, 30 or 40 people? What if I don't do 10? What if I don't do one? Oh, my goodness. Oh, okay. God is providing. He's telling me to go. And when Rod said we were doing kids ministry, I was like, I can do that with my eyes closed. That's not a problem. But door to door, oh, no. But we would practice, and I would sit at home practicing with this and telling it. And fast forward to Sunday. We're out after church, after lunch. We're doing our prayer walk. I'm still figuring out how I'm going to do this. I'm still worried about going door to door the next day. And we're with me and Mark. Of course, I'm doing a prayer walk with Mark. And Anna, one of our translators, end up going into a house. And Anna starts telling them, and then Mark shares his testimony, and Mark points to me and says, okay, Aaron, share the cube. Okay, here I go. And I shared, and Mark, if I get this wrong, you can correct me, but there was five of them in the house. I believe the mother came to Christ. I don't know about the three teenagers, but after doing it, I was nervous, but God used me. He provided the words. He provided peace while I was doing it. Monday comes. I'm still worried beyond all belief, but I'm trusting God that he will provide for us, provide the words. And surprisingly enough, people are very open. They were willing to hear. They wanted to hear. They would see you. They'd say hi. Our translator would tell them that we're from Canada and that they want to share. And so we'd share. And yeah, I don't think I got 30 or 40, probably 10 or 15, but God definitely used me. And it was crazy to see, because the whole time before, I'm thinking, oh, how am I going to do this? How am I going to share door to door? And yet, God used me. So if God is calling you on a mission trip, or if we go again, prayerfully consider it, because God will work in, and he will provide. Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, Aaron. Wow, that was awesome. Yeah, it was awesome having him on the trip. He was a lot of fun, too. We had also a father and two sons go with us. I was a little nervous about that, tell you the truth, but they did an awesome job, and Fred is going to come with Jedediah and Ebenezer, and they're going to share with us.
Good morning, church. Before we start, I want to say thank you all for sending us, for creating the opportunity, and most importantly, for praying along with us during the program. We actually felt the impact of your prayers while we were there. Praise God. So I will let Jedidiah give us his short testimony first.
Something that interests me for the mission trip is that with God's power, people can be saved. But how do they just believe us? Why it interests me in the mission trip is because I probably wouldn't accept the word of God first time if I never knew about it. The lesson I got from the mission trip was people get God's word in different ways.
Most of you probably know about the tool known as the Evangel Cube, a tool used for sharing the gospel and how Jesus died for us. But it's been used multiple times in Colombia to share the gospel to others. And it's one of the, it helped others believe the word of God and eventually come to accept it.
Praise God. So, yeah, thank you so much. Like I said before, one of the first thing when, before the church mentioned mission trip, I was already thinking about missions in my heart, and I was like, okay, maybe something I want to work towards, try and put some funds together. And then the boys heard it, and they reverberated it into my ears times without number until I put my name down for it. The major highlight to me about this trip was first the opportunity it gave for me to get my children involved in the father's business. Other things that is worth noting in it is the impact we were able to create in the life of the children during my time with the kids. It was actually mind-blowing, as I will discuss shortly. And then the other thing is also how God drew people to hear the word of God and to be saved. That just showed to me that it was all about God. And I'm grateful that we were available for him to use. So for the contact I had with the children at the two different sites on one of the days, at Villa Jimenez, to be precise, there was, after sharing the Evangel Cube and having some fun with the kids, I opened opportunity for them to ask questions of any type. And one of the questions that reverberated the most and with lots of follow-up questions was a question that also, one of the kind of things I had in my heart as a growing child, the kids wanted to come to Canada. And, you know, in their sincerity, they just asked, how do I come? And I was able to come in and share my personal experience, how I had that mind from probably when I was in grade 3 or 4. But one thing stood out to me, because in the locality I grew up, it was common to hear somebody traveled abroad and he was repatriated. And when I dig deep, I discovered that it was because they didn't travel correctly. So I told myself, I will travel abroad, and when I get there, I will be welcomed. And down the line, after maybe about 20 years or 30 years, I landed in Canada, and I was welcomed. So that was the story I shared with the children when they asked that question. And in the second place, that's in the city, we had many children who were familiar with the church, with the Bible and everything. And I told them, we took a different turn, and that you are going to learn how to use the Evangel Cube. So I actually didn't do it. It was Ebenezer and Jedidiah that took their time to share just to show them that they could do it. And I gave them opportunity to try. And as God we have it, first I volunteered the pastor's son who has been with us all through to try. That, oh, we are here to support you. And he did. And it was great. Then I asked, is anybody else willing to try? You do it and you get the Evangel Cube to keep. That was our last day. And some of my team were thinking of pulling, at least pushing someone, but as they were trying that, somebody said, no, I will do it, without being told. So he did, and I'm just grateful to God that those little kids are the next generation of evangelists that God is raising to continue the work in the land. And the last thing that I want to talk about is how I saw God actually drawing people to hear the word. And this is actually passionate to me because I was one of those fortunate to have one interpreter almost with us in most of the teams I joined. And that's the lady we have right there. On the third day, she was kind of having some concern, like, I'm not seeing everybody surrender to Christ. And I was like, she was also like, are you not concerned? I said, no, because it is God that touches people's hearts. I am just doing my work, and we will continue to do our work. So on that fourth day, in the morning, I was out on evangelism. In the afternoon, that was the time I had with the children. So that morning, we went out, saw two elderly men. We discussed, and shortly they told us, oh, they were church leaders, so we practically exalted each other and we prayed together. And then we moved to the next place. Met this woman and the daughter, and we discussed the word of God. As we were discussing, another relative drove his bike in and told him, oh, you are welcome to join us. This message is also for you. Three of them listened, paid attention, and they gave their life to Christ. And we moved again to another house. We met a woman and the child. So we started our discussion. And as we were still discussing, the husband drove his bike in and joined the conversation. And three of them also gave their life to Christ. And I invited them that tomorrow we'll be having a celebration service. And so that's the picture you have there. That's Kevin and Paolo and their two kids. And they were actually present with us. And when we also left their place, our time was almost up, but I saw this two or three folks outside in one house. We started our discussion. And as we were still discussing, two other of their relatives drove their bike in. And we included them in our discussion. And at that place, four of them gave their lives to Christ. And I just could not fathom how God moved ahead of us and worked in the hearts of all the people that listened to us. So just because we moved and went in obedience to God, and also because you guys prayed for us, you held us up, and God took the glory. So that's my short story. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, we did have an awesome week. And, you know, it's not just the team who went who get the benefit of, you know, rewards for that. But you get that benefit as well because you gave money, you prayed, you encouraged us, and so we're all in this together. We don't receive any glory for this just as a team. We just really want to thank you for the part you played. And so neat to hear stories of families coming to the Lord. Okay, I have the mic, and I have one more story. So Pastor Reynaldo and I are walking down the street, and he said, I want to go meet this lady. She goes to our church. Well, she goes, she's not very well now, so she doesn't always come, but I want you to meet her. So we went, met the lady, and on the way, he said, she has four sons, and none of them are Christians. One of them she had five sons. None of them are Christians. One of them lives in another city, and one has passed away. Three of them live here. We walk into the house. One of those sons is sitting in the house. So we're talking with her. I share the gospel with him. He accepts the Lord. We walk out of the house, and I said, okay, one down, two to go. And I said, where are the other ones? He said, I don't know where they live. We're walking around the community. We knock on a door. Son number two answers the door. We share the gospel with him. He accepts the Lord. I said, two down, one to go. Where is he? He said, I don't know. The next day, we're walking down the street. This guy's coming down towards us on a bicycle. Reynaldo goes, oh, hey, how you doing? He turns to me and goes, this is son number three. We shared the gospel with him. Son number three accepted the Lord. So now that entire family, well, one to go. He lives in another city. But praise the Lord, the families were accepting the Lord, and they're being discipled. We need to keep praying for the church now as a disciple. So thank you, church, for your prayers and the opportunity for us to go.
Thank you. So I'm going to read this verse from Psalm 126, verse 3. It says, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. May we rise as we give God all the glory. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God be with us as we go through the week. In Jesus' name, may you go in peace.